Greetings to each of you on this day. Again, we continue with Marva Don's book, My Soul Waits. And today I will be diving into chapter 3, where she has wonderful words of wisdom to guide us through a continued work of Psalm 31. The words from Psalm 31, verse 22. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Yes, God hears my cries of panic, of desperation. And then in Psalm 31, verse 5, the words are, into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, Lord, my faithful God. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, Lord, my faithful God. You see, how we perceive the surface reality and the deeper truths of our lives, that makes all the difference in our world. And I think what we see here in Psalm 31 is this feeling of being disjointed, wondering and waiting again if God hears the cries of our panic. And then, as we've talked about the last couple of sessions, putting our ultimate trust into God's hands. But sometimes those seem like opposite sides of the Grand Canyon. And there's this huge chasm in between the two. And so how do we reconcile that? A side note is, several years ago, I actually rode the mules down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. I wanted to do what Teddy Roosevelt had done. I had watched a video one day about him doing that, riding the mules to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And so I did the same. And it was an amazing experience. But the day I showed up, there had been a major snowstorm. And so the guide showed up, and it was just my friend Mark and I. But there was all of this snow on the ground, and he was still preparing for us to ride that day, and we were very nervous. And so I asked the guide, has a mule ever fell over the edge here on the trail of the Grand Canyon? And his reply to me was, not yet, not yet. And he said, they are very sure-footed animals, and you'll be fine. But for the first hour and a half, when we were going down on the snow-packed trail, where you couldn't even see the trail, let's just say God was hearing the cries of my panic. And at the same time, living an act of ultimate trust that all would be well. But again, at times, it can seem like a Grand Canyon size gap between what my mind and my heart are saying and how I live in trust. Well, for the psalmist again today, there is some personal dismay that is taking place. And this phrase here for the personal dismay is saying, I'm cut off. I'm actually cut off from God in this moment. And the psalmist then goes on to say, I myself said in my alarm, again, speaking to himself, speaking to his own mind. Well, this word that translates alarm comes from the verb meaning to be in a hurry or to have lots of trepidation. So it would be translated literally there in verse 31 or chapter 31, verse 22. I myself said in my to be in trepidation. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But what this points to is a state of panic. If you're cut off from God and nothing good is to come, then there's a state of panic. And that panic prevents us from observing the truth. When we think that we are cut off in our dread, there's only the reality that we can see in that moment is nothing, again, good can take place. So when we deal with our emotions, maybe a little bit more carefully, we'll be able to experience more genuine truth, the other side of the canyon, than just in the moment or on the side where we see ourselves. I mean, how often have we overlooked the reminders of our God? In our panic, we might suppose that we're cut off, but that's not the truth, the overall truth of our lives, the generations of truth, the thousands of years of truth that we can experience in God. Now, the Hebrew original shows more clearly than our English translations how violent our alarm can become, however. In its basic form, the verb that we render, I am cut off, in Scripture means to exterminate. It's related to the common noun for axe. But this is the only use of the verb here in this First Testament. Such a rare and violent word emphasizes that the poet's panic caused him to fear so unduly that he had been obliterated from Yahweh's sight, that God could not possibly find him, that God would not again search him out. He was literally axed out of God's goodness forever. Now, we don't usually comprehend how violent panic is to us, but it can rob us of the truth and cause us to over-accentuate the negatives of our observable reality. How true can that be for us? It's like when we evaluate our day, we had a million different blessings, but the one or two things that were difficult or hard or didn't go as we thought, or the negative comment that somebody gives, and all of a sudden everything is shaded by the negative. We go to extremes, such as when we say, nobody helps me, everybody rejects me, I'm alone in the world, there isn't anyone who loves me. And yet we know deep within our soul that just isn't true. Because yes, Yahweh seeks to bring the comfort of God's truth and companionship. Well, the second part there of this verse 22, there's this word that translates yet. We can also translate it surely, but that's not as strong. So the poet can proclaim here that this hasn't happened yet, that it will maybe come, but not yet in the moment. So true to the character, we hear the cry for mercy that the psalmist writes, that they cry to God for help. And the Hebrew text addresses God here by saying, you heard the voice of my supplications, or the sound of my distress, or my lament. And because of the strong memory of Yahweh's rescue, the psalmist can conclude the poem with a great exhortation to his readers to love the covenant God and to be strong because of their hope in him. We can examine that from the very beginning, a sense of being cut off, and yet God comes through. And so there's a frequency of this word refuge in Psalm 31 in those first several verses. Well, the word refuge connotates a place of safety, a harbor, some sort of protection. And at that time, that person desperately needed the Lord as a refuge. When have you needed God most as a refuge? Well, now this is where we jump to the beginning of the psalm, where we say, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands, God, I commit my spirit. Don't we want God to be in control of our situations? Don't we want God to speak in the midst of our hurt pride or our eagerness for vindication? Or at times when we've invested so much and we feel so let down, don't we want God to speak there? I think in desperation at times it's easy to throw our arms up and say, help us. But what about when things are just normal? when things are plodding along, when we're simply going down the trail of life. When we look to Jesus, we remember how Jesus prayed even in this psalm. Just as Jesus rested his head in death and completed all that had been prophesied about him, when he victoriously cried that everything was finished and all human debts had been paid and all evil powers defeated, then triumphantly Jesus would say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Yes, the same words in this psalm Jesus prays in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Those are powerful words spoken by Jesus, ones of radical, life-giving trust. So, the poet in this psalm calls Yahweh his faithful God, or the God of truth. The truth of our relation to sin is that we are forgiven. The truth of our relation to death is that it's been overcome and we do not need to fear it. The truth of our relation to sorrow is that we will never be more than we can be, that it will never be more than we can bear. And the truth of our loneliness is that when we feel totally cut off, we have in our panic forgotten the depths of God's thorough faithfulness. Yes, God's thorough faithfulness. Yahweh is the God of the Amen, a word for truth. Yahweh alone is the God of reliability and stability. And God's gift to us in our loneliness is the whole truth about ourselves, especially the truth that we are beloved to God. Yes, the whole truth about us is that we are beloved to God. The truth, as Jesus says, sets us free. See John chapter 8, verse 32. The truth, as Jesus says, sets us free. On this day, may we truly be set free to see God at work in the midst of our panic, in the midst of our chaos, so that we too can commit our spirit to God. That's where our peace will come from. And so a few questions for you to go deeper in the next 3 days. How have you observed that your panic prevents you from accurately assessing your situation? How have you observed that your panic prevents you from accurately assessing your situation? Number two, what misjudgments have made you feel cut off from Yahweh's sight and love? Number three, how or through whom has Yahweh delivered you when you cried to Yahweh for help? Number four, are you able right now to commit your spirit thoroughly into Yahweh's hands, to put your trust there? Why or why not? Why is it so hard to trust? How does God's work to bring us back from the prisons of pain and death affect our understanding of God's action in other dimensions of our life? Yes, how does God's work to bring us back from the prisons of pain and death affect our understanding of God's action in other areas of our life? And last question to meditate on is, how does the truth about me set me free? What is that truth? What is it that you say about God and God's relationship with you on this day? May you live blessed as you go deeper, again, trusting that a lot can happen in 3 days. Yes, God speak. Live blessed. We'll talk soon.